You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello and welcome to the journey.
To the journey.
Hey, where's Lori?
Lori is actually in sick bay this week. The doctor is treating her, but she's not cleared for duty yet.
Well, she's in good holographic hands, and we'll see her next week. But this week, we have me, Tristan Riddell, and with me as always is...
Charlene.
I'm excited about today, Charlene. I am excited about this episode because we've been getting some feedback here and there from people on Twitter, from the emails that we've gotten. We've gotten some really great feedback. We've been getting some constructive feedback as well.
Yes.
And one person in particular was saying we needed to do more deep episode analysis. Now, you and I both know that when we started the show, we didn't want to do an episode review show.
Right. We intentionally decided against that because we want to kind of talk about Voyager as a whole in its entirety.
Absolutely, because not a lot of podcasts do that. Not a lot of Star Trek podcasts do that, but
right.
A lot of Star Trek podcasts do episode review, and they do it well.
Right. So, okay, that's done. Let's do something else.
Exactly. But I feel like we can merge the two needs of having a general Voyager show, but also talking about deep episode analysis, because today, you and I, including Lori, because we got her picks via subspace message.
Yes, we did.
We're going to talk about our three favorite episodes that don't get much love out there in Star Trek fandom. Not our three favorite episodes of all time.
Right.
Just the ones that we think are a little underrated.
Yeah, underrated. That's the key word. Just maybe they just don't get enough attention, or maybe people genuinely don't like them and we don't understand why.
Yeah.
So we're going to tell you why we love them. And of course, if you want to give us some feedback, you know how to do that. But just in case you don't remember... Trek.fm/contact. Let us know what you think.
Now, Char, I have been waiting all week to figure out what your picks are.
This is true because we've been keeping them a surprise from one another. So this is going to be fun.
I have no idea what Char is going to say, and Char has no idea what I'm going to say. But we know each other pretty well, so we might be able to guess.
Ooh.
But...
Okay, is this a challenge? Do you want me to guess?
No. No, because I will fail miserably and you will get it spot on. So how about you just start with your first one and I'll tell you why you're wrong. I'm just kidding.
No. I like it. Bring it. Okay. My first one, and I maybe I'm going to go chronologically. Maybe I'm not. I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
But I'm going to start off with season one's The Cloud.
Ha, nice.
Okay, because although it has a rather boring A story about this nebula, Voyager goes in it, it hurts it, and they discover, oh, it's a life form, it's not a nebula, and we've hurt this thing, and we can't leave until we fix it and make it all better, what happens in the meantime makes it a worthwhile episode. The character development is so rich in this episode. You get Janeway seeking coffee, and Neelix pouring hot fudge syrup into her cup and her jaws on the floor.
That is the reason why you chose this episode.
Well, it's one reason. It's one reason. Give me some credit here.
Okay. All right. Please continue.
I mean, that's just the start. It's great. Plus, she's kind of like sneaking around in the kitchen, you know, just on the bowls of boiling whatever Neelix is concocting for lunch at that moment. What is that?
Yeah, oh, the hot
tasty.
Ice.
That's all right. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of cute. But then also we have Chakotay introducing Janeway to her animal guide, which is kind of cool. It's this little Geico lizard kind of guy.
I forgot about that. I actually really like that moment.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like the whole spirit guide, animal guide things. I liked it, and I liked that it was something that was minuscule and tiny. It wasn't like a lion or
right.
or something gigantic like a giraffe or a hippopotamus or or something funny like a squirrel. No, it was a little, you know, a little lizard, you know. It was
right.
And it's not like it's a weak animal, but it's not a strong animal, and
yeah, it's an interesting
could be deceptive,
choice.
You know? Yeah.
And unfortunately we never see it again. Apparently Janeway gave up on the whole spirit guide thing, for all we know anyway. But this was a great introduction, and I thought it was a great bonding moment for those two early on to make a connection. So I thought that was pretty solid. And of course, there is that nice little flirtatious line with Janeway saying, "You've got a date," you know, before they do this. And then, of course, he kind of walks into her ready room later, and she's like, "Now? Oh, okay. Yeah, now. Why not? I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here. Okay, I guess so."
And isn't that the episode with the where we find out that Janeway is the hustler at the pool table?
Oh, golly. Is it?
I think so.
Oh my gosh, it's been a while since I've watched this one. This is terrible.
I think that's
the one
where
might be.
Where she goes like eight ball, side pocket, bam.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think you're right because not only do we get that, we get Sandrine's, we get the introduction of Sandrine's, but then we've got Tom breaking into Harry's quarters, and then of course Harry's wearing this blindfold because he can't sleep, right?
Right.
And so then that's when he drags him over to Sandrine's. That's how that happens. We learn that Harry remembers being in his mother's womb.
Man, there's so much that happens in this episode that I
completely
forgot. Like, we see the beginning stages of Tom and Harry's relationship.
Yeah.
We get Sandrine's. We get Janeway being a hustler.
We
get the beginning of kind of the sexual tension between Chakotay and Janeway. Animal guides, spiritual guides, medicine bundles. I mean, a lot of people didn't like the medicine bundle stuff and like Chakotay's religion and all that business, but I did. And
I thought it was really good at this point.
I think you're spot on with this episode. I like it.
I approve
this choice.
All right. Thank you very much. Yes. I just love all these little moments that we get in the meantime. And this boring A plot is the perfect conductor for all these little things that we learn about these characters. For an early on episode, this is exactly what we needed. So, that's why I think it's underrated.
Well, you have me convinced. And
sweet.
I love boring A-plots. I really do, because it means we're going to have some really cute character moments in between.
Right.
I mean, Fairhaven had a pretty boring A-plot, just so you know.
And now,
that was pretty awesome.
Okay. Which begs the question, Tristan, what is your first choice? Let's get into it.
Well, I'm going to blow your mind, and I'm not going to say that Fairhaven is the most underrated on my list because I think it's awesome and everybody should love it, but mine is actually Twisted.
Okay, I knew this one was coming, by the way.
Yes, you know me well enough to that I cannot go an episode of our show without talking about Twisted.
Well, this is a really good episode. I'm totally with you on this one.
This is one of my favorite. This is not only one of my favorites, but it doesn't get any love because it's early on.
Mm-hmm.
It's before Voyager really found its feet, and it had some corny moments. You know, had some moments with where the characters didn't really find themselves yet. But in this episode, I feel like this is where the characters found themselves, or at least the beginning of it. Because we see the development of jealousy with Neelix, with Tom and Cass. I know this isn't the first time we've seen it, but it's kind of in full swing in this episode where his green-eyed monster comes out.
I would agree with that.
I feel like in this episode, it has... I know Voyager's famous for their random spatial anomalies, but with this one, it's like, okay, we can't go anywhere. Like, we're perusing the ship, and we're getting lost in the ship, and I felt like we got to know the ship a little bit more in its twisted nature, and we got to see some more sets, we got to see the corridors, engineering, we got to see everything, the bridge, engineering, Sandrine's quarters, we got to see random crew members that actually had lines, and they were all in one room, and they were all talking about like their strengths and what they could do, and they kept fighting, and they had to work together, and for most of it, without their captain.
Right, because she's unconscious on the couch.
She's unconscious on the couch, speaking in tongues.
Yeah, I love that, by the way. Where she's all delirious and her speech is all slurred and incomprehensible. Yes, fun stuff.
And like in that moment when she's in the Jeffries tube and her arm gets all lanky and weird.
Oh, I love that shot.
Yeah, it's a good shot. And she's like, oh, God, no.
Can't get my arm out.
And I just felt like there was a lot of good character building moments, like with I loved it when Chakotay and Neelix got paired up, and the look on Chakotay's yeah. face where he just kind of like grabs his ear and goes, "Yeah, that's fine."
Yeah. He knows he has no choice, the poor guy.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah, whatever, fine, give right. me the rodent, you know.
Yeah, well, and they
give
have
me the
a
bar
great,
rodent, you know.
They got a great conversation out of that, too, while they're wandering the hallways trying to map the corridors. Mm-hmm. Neelix is seeking relationship advice, basically, and Chakotay is sort of trying to help him out, put things into perspective, but I suspect Chakotay's not much of the jealous type, so...
No, he doesn't seem that way. And we also, we got a little sentiment out of Tuvok at the end, because that really cool, subtle hand gesture of him just putting his hand on her shoulder.
Yes. Isn't that the sweetest thing a Vulcan could do?
Absolutely. It said 1,000 words in one little instance. And that's the beauty of their relationship, is that one little thing right there defined their entire relationship.
Pretty much. Pretty
much. And so that is why I think that this episode is completely underrated, because a lot of people thought it was boring, but I said, no, this was character development, and this had a lot of cool, fun moments.
Absolutely. Absolutely. On top of that, I do like the fact that this is a sci-fi story that is, I mean, especially for a bottle show. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not a whole lot else going on here. It's all on the ship. This is a great sci-fi story. It's like at the core of what Star Trek is all about. New life forms, new civilizations. And you know what? Sometimes there is nothing you can do. You just have to let things happen, see through it. And then, you know, this time the outcome was fine. They were all the better for it. They had, like, what, 10 billion gigaquads of information that they never used.
And see, that was key, too, is that it was about the exchange of information, which I thought was really cool. It's like, they copied their library, they got theirs.
Yeah.
And it was such a cheesy line. It was like, maybe it was just their way of shaking hands or saying hello or something like that.
Right.
But it's so true. I mean, there's races out there that we can't even comprehend, and yet they were able to exchange information.
Yeah.
That's good sci-fi.
Totally. I'm 100% with you. Awesome, awesome ep.
So, Char, since Lori's not here, how about we give some attention to one of her picks?
Okay, let's do that, because we know what they are. She shared them with us beforehand. Let's talk about Macrocosm, which was her first choice.
Now, what I like to call this episode, Janeway in a tank top.
Oh, I call it Janeway with big muscles.
Well, I guess we're all focusing on... Yeah, she's definitely in shape.
She got some guns. Yeah.
So this wasn't the get the cheese to sickbay one. This was...
No, that was learning curve. That's at the very end of season one. This is where the big, gigantic viruses take over the ship, and Janeway comes back from negotiations with the TAC-TAC, which...
Oh, yeah, they were the ones with the... the gestures, like the hand gestures and the body language and everything
and
like that.
Apparently she insulted them when she put her hands on her hips. And
like that was like giving them the finger or something?
Basically, yeah. So she kind of had her work cut out for her in this, and then comes back to the ship and everybody's all passed out and these huge super virus things are floating around. And so she strips down to that tank top. She breaks out the compression phaser rifle and she shoots the bejesus out of them. And it's great.
This is going to sound really morbid, but I really like disease in Star Trek.
Okay.
I have some follow-up. I'm not going to leave it there.
Yeah, please don't.
I like when the doctor has something to do. I like it, any doctor, not just Picardo, but like Beverly and Bashir and Phlox and McCoy, all that business. I love it when they have to really use their intellect to get something done in combination with the action heroes of the show. They're like, well, I developed this vaccine, but I have no way to release it. Well, if I phaser my way through the hallways and like destroy all of these things and kick down the door, I'll be able to distribute this vaccine. I like that work in tandem of medicine and action.
Right.
And that really is it for
the doctors, is they have to come up with the cure. They get to save the day. But they're not the ones out there doing the shooting, doing all the grunt work, if you will, of making it happen. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
With disease, you never really know what you're going to get in Star Trek. And I like how we've never seen anything like this before.
This is absolutely true. We have not seen anything like this before. You know, I think for a one-time deal, it was great. Had we seen them again? Okay, no.
Right.
These were definitely a one-shot kind of a species thing, whatever you want to call it. But you know what? For a little fun romp, I mean, this is it's not lighthearted, but it's fluffy material in a way. I mean, it's all action. It's all about Janeway shooting that gun, you know?
Right.
There's not a whole lot of deep underlying meaning, and sometimes it's a little refreshing, not all the time, but sometimes, to just have an episode where you can just sit back and enjoy it. You don't have to think about it too much.
And I felt like this was kind of a defining moment for Janeway to establish herself. Like, I'm not Picard, but I'm also not Sisko. I'm Janeway.
This is true.
Like Picard, he's the diplomat, he's the thinker, he will outsmart you. Sisko is a great tactician. He will use his ship and his know-how to trap you. Janeway, she's like, I'm a scientist, but I know how to handle a rifle.
This
I feel
is true.
Like that is who she established who she was.
Yeah, she's a badass.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not afraid to use force when necessary.
Yeah.
I mean, she kind of has that in common with Kirk a little bit, but she tones it down a little bit, but then makes up for it, I think, with intellect.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I feel like a lot of people forget this episode because if you're not a Neelix fan or you weren't a Doctor fan early on, this episode might be a little boring for you. But
Well, no, I think you know what else, though, is it comes off as superficial, where it's, oh, it's just a stupid action episode. I'm not going to miss anything. Yeah, but if you watch it for what it is.
Did JJ direct this episode? Jeez.
Let's not go there. No, I think if you just sit back and you watch it for what it is and enjoy it for what it is, you have a good time.
Yes.
What more can you want? Come on.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
All right.
So, good choice, Lori.
Good choice, Lori. Char, you got to give me your number two.
Okay. I guess I am going to work chronologically here. My next one is Persistence of Vision in season two.
Oh.
What was that, buddy? What
you
was that?
You might be on your own on this one.
You
tell me why you like it.
Okay. Now, granted, this has to do with these horrible holodeck characters that we have already mentioned on this show that we do not like. But what I do like about this episode is that this is an alien who is using rather unique methods of seducing everybody into submission and basically messing with them because he can, not because he wants anything from them, he's out to kill them, whatever. He's just doing it because he can, because he wants to. He's got nothing better to do. He's basically effing around with them. And you know what? I honestly do believe there are people out there who do this. So why not an alien species?
Is this the episode where the writers put this bullcrap scene where we're supposed to believe that B'Elanna has always wanted to have sex with Chakotay?
Okay, can I explain my point of view on this one?
Okay, before I trash it, which I'm going to.
Okay, I will, fair enough.
I will let you defend yourself.
All right, I'll make my case and then you can trash it. Here's okay. What I think is really going on. B'Elanna doesn't really want to sleep with Chakotay. I see it more of as kind of a schoolgirl crush where before they were on Voyager, they spent a lot of time together working alongside one another in the Maquis. And just from sheer spending time with one another, there developed an attraction on her part. She grew to admire him. She liked him. But she would never act on it. It's one of those things where in the back of her mind, she's thought about it. But is she really going to make it a possibility? No. She doesn't really, really think of him that way.
Okay, well, that's the only way that you can rationalize this scene because he is a handsome man, okay? We can all agree upon that.
Coco is handsome, yes.
Yes, I like, my mother has a thing for Native American men. I don't know where it comes from. One of her favorite movies is Last of the Mohicans.
Okay.
And whenever the certain characters come on the screen, she's like, oh, that's a good-looking man. And and then, like, and whenever Chakotay comes on the screen, she's just like, yeah, I hope this is a Chakotay episode. And
she wants to see more of that.
Exactly. And so I guess that's the only way I can justify that moment of this episode in me is that, yes, B'Elanna is aware that Chakotay is a very handsome man. He's a very strong man, mm-hmm. very strong-willed, intelligent, kind, sensitive. And so, yeah, you'd be attracted to that. But I think you're right. Would she ever act on it? No. And
no,
she was
not
under alien influence. So, I mean, right, you can explain anything away, you know?
He's looking really to the very depths of what... for some of them, what they fear the most, what they want the most. And then for her, this is like one of the most deeply buried thoughts that she has. So he brings this out and seduces her.
And also, while I was watching this episode, I could not help but think they're called Bothans.
The Bothans.
The Bothans. Okay. Yeah, when she said Bothans, I could not help but say to myself, many Bothans died to give us this information.
Yeah, you're not the only one who's thought of that.
Now, I know there's only so many vowels in the English language. You know, there's only so many combinations that you can do. I'm not saying this was a Star Wars ripoff. It's just that's what I was thinking while I was watching
right,
it. Right, so. Yeah.
I don't think you're the only one who's gone that route.
Yeah, I didn't like the Doctor shrinking. I thought it was kind of corny and...
Oh, come on. It was cute.
I like cute moments like that. I just didn't really get on board with that one.
Okay. All right. That's fine. You didn't totally trash it. It's cool.
No. I'm not saying it's a bad episode. I think it's one of those middle-of-the-road episodes that deserves the love and the disappointment that it gets. But that's just me. That is just me. Those
okay,
of you who like
fair
it out
enough.
There, I'm not criticizing your choice because my next two are going to get ripped by you.
Bring it.
And if this next one doesn't, the third one will. But I think it definitely will be ripped by the interwebs. So,
okay, buddy.
My second one is Jatrell.
Ooh, okay.
Now, this is a Neelix episode.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people just cannot stand Neelix. Now, I try to meet them halfway. I try to... understand, like, they call him the Jar Jar of Star Trek.
Yes, they do.
Which I think is completely undeserved, because Neelix is much cooler and he's a snappier dresser than Jar Jar, and I liked his arc from being this weird trader and junk dealer to a key character of the crew. And in this episode, we get to learn so much of his backstory.
This is true. We get to learn
so much about Neelix. And you know that I love the history of our characters. I love any time that we can figure out something about their childhood or their teenage years or where they're from or anything like that. I gobble that stuff up. And to know that Neelix, this happy-go-lucky guy who is the self-proclaimed morale officer, his whole family was obliterated and his planet was it was war torn and
right
in a very heinous way, and he's still able to get up in the morning and go about his day and put a smile on other people's faces, including his own, and it just made me respect him even more. And in the end, even though he was confronted with this guy who was literally responsible for the device that killed millions of his people,
right,
he was able to forgive him at the end. Like, that is, like, this is one of those stories that could have been told without the sci-fi element, but the sci-fi element made it even better. This guy was looking for redemption, and Neelix got past his hatred and said, "I forgive you," right before this man died, and that's all he wanted to hear for his entire life. And that just gets you right here. Let's just get you right here. I'm touching my heart for those of you listening. It tugs at my heartstrings every single time. I think it's a well-written episode. I think the guest star was amazing.
He was very good.
Yeah. And so that is my... I feel like people are blinded by their Neelix hate and disregard this episode when it is, in fact, one of my favorite Star Trek episodes of all time, not just my favorite underrated
one.
Oh,
wow. See, okay, I wouldn't go that far.
I made a list on Trek.fm of my favorite Voyager episodes, and Jatrell is on there.
Along with Twisted.
I know. I know we weren't supposed to pick our favorite episodes, but it's just these don't get enough love. My next one is not on the list, just so you know.
Oh, okay. Well, I think you hit some really good points on this episode, because this is where we learned so much of Neelix's backstory, and it's all we get for a long time, unfortunately. And after watching this episode, so many things about Neelix do make sense. Like, why is he, like, this junker, just scavenging around through space, taking what he can and all that, explains so much about why he is the way he is, and even to some extent explains maybe why he would be attracted to somebody like Kes. You know, take a young girl under his wing. And let's not get into the dynamics of that relationship, but all of this info, once you receive it, makes me realize, okay, this is why we have Neelix as he is now. And yes, he is that person who is out to put a smile on his face, and despite all that he's been through, he is still smiling through it all. It takes a brave man to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to give him credit for that. The one thing that I do not like about Jatrell that I have to mention is this little subplot that they throw in just about a little more than 2/3 of the way through with the transporter and trying to revive Talaxians out of the atmosphere and all this. That one last ditch effort for the scientist to redeem himself and try and undo some of the damage that he did. I felt that was way too little. They could have done a lot more with it. And it's not like Voyager to just, oh, it didn't work? Okay, well, let's move on. I really had a problem with that.
I like transporter stuff. I like transporter accidents. And the idea that you'd be able to, I guess I can't argue with you that it was poorly executed, but I thought the idea was solid.
The idea is great.
Yeah, it was so good that Enterprise recycled it. And I can't remember the name of that episode, but seriously, the entire episode, the Enterprise completely rips the Jatrell in the fourth season, where they try to use the transporter to recombine somebody who's been lost to the ages in space. I guess you're right. It was probably too little, too late. I mean, I guess they should have maybe but that was part of the mystery of why he was there and what he was trying to accomplish, and that was the big ha moment. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to meet you halfway here, but I would have to disagree. I like it. I felt like it injected the sci-fi that needed to be in there, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Well, had Voyager not been such an episodic show, I would have liked to have seen it stretch out over another episode where they continue this effort to see what else they can do to redeem this guy, even posthumously, just to see. And it doesn't happen, so okay, fine, we move on. La 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 la.
Now, one episode that Lori gave, which would have been good if they did what you said and either continued it or retroactively had something, Latent Image is the second episode that Lori chose. And I liked aspects of this episode, and there's things I didn't like. I don't like that we never saw this person whatsoever before.
Yes. That is a big gripe I have, too.
But at the same time, I can understand why they did it, because no one would talk about her afterwards because of what happened to the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like the audience is on the inside with the Voyager crew. Like, yeah, the Voyager crew doesn't talk about it, and that's why we don't talk about it in front of you either. But at the same time, no, it needed to be crewman number 6 that we could go back and see in Caretaker or something.
Right.
Or in the first season. Just like pick an extra who has somewhat of a talent.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
you know, kill him off.
Yeah, exactly. Pick somebody that we can care about.
Yes. Thank you. I think, yes, you hit it on the head. I didn't care about this woman. The only person I cared about was the Doctor.
Right, exactly.
And I felt like we were missing half of that feeling. Now, I wish Lori was here.
Yes, me too.
We're
I hope you're
really
getting better.
We're not really giving her justice, giving her pick justice, but...
Yeah.
Does it have some good aspects? Absolutely. I mean, the Doctor tackles his humanity. He's, you know, sentience has its downside, and I think he's learning that. And for that issue alone, I feel like this episode has value. But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go wrong with a Doctor story because you know that Robert Picardo is going to act the hell out of it. He's going to make the absolute most of it. And usually there is some sort of aspect of him exploring his humanity, which is always fascinating. They always, I mean, Star Trek has this down so well at this point. I mean, they know how to do this very well. But I'm with you. I just feel like something was missing, and I'm vested in it for the Doctor and really not a whole lot else.
Not a lot else was going on. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's, yeah, okay.
Even with Harry, I'm having
the same problem with it as you are. And again, I wish Lori was here so she could tell us what she thinks. But maybe next week we can have her chime in and give us a little bit of missing info, because I don't think we are doing it justice.
Now, we're on to round three, and let's see. Let's not see how fast we can do this, but let's see how succinctly we can do this.
Okay.
All right, Char.
All right.
Lay it on us. What is your number three?
Okay. Resolutions.
The monkey one?
The monkey. Yeah, the monkey. The monkey.
I like that episode. People don't like that episode?
I don't think it gets enough love. I mean, it does by the Janeway Chakotay fans, because this is where the seeds are planted.
And
right?
I'm one of those.
Okay. And me too. This is why I love it. Because we do get the beginnings of what ends up being a very important friendship throughout the rest of the series. This is where it really starts, officially.
And
we gotta
not
have
friends
it.
With benefits.
We could go into that whole debate, but let's save that for another episode, because I would love to talk about the whole Janeway Chakotay relationship and did they or didn't they? How far did they go? Oh, I mean, there's so many possibilities here.
So what do you think people don't like about this episode? Because I like this episode.
I think a lot of people, the people that don't like the whole aspect of Janeway and Chakotay possibly being romantically involved, hate this episode for obvious reason.
So you think that's the biggest thing? I mean, you mentioned that before, but you think that's the biggest thing? If you're not a Chakotay-Janeway fan at all, you're not going to like this episode?
I think that's half the problem. The other half is this B-plot where brooding Harry and the rest of the crew band together to almost mutiny against Tuvok and convince him to go after the Vidian so they can get a cure so they can retrieve the captain and Chakotay. And to be quite honest, this is just my opinion, but that B-plot is kind of boring. It moves things along. I think there's some problems with it. It's not the most interesting thing to me. I like the more slice of life moments with Janeway and Chakotay and them trying to deal with what's going on between them. That's what I like this episode for. And, of course, the monkey. Hey.
And you all know my theory on monkeys in movies and television.
I don't know if I do. Please remind me.
Well, I believe that a movie or a TV show with a monkey is twice as good as it would have been without the monkey.
Some people would disagree.
I mean, they can disagree. They'd be wrong, but they can disagree all that they want.
Yeah, this is true. And, well, like it or not, the monkey is there. Some people really dislike the monkey in Resolutions. But you know what? I think he took really good care of the house after they were gone.
I think so, too. Actually, no. That pissed me off. They would not... No, they would not have left that house.
Okay.
That is raw material that they could have used on the ship.
Yes, I thought that was a stupid line to put in there, because this is Voyager, where they are talking about conserving resources how many times?
And they're going to leave
a shelter on a planet with a replicator? Are you kidding me? That's Kazon Heaven right there.
Yes, okay. Well, maybe they stripped it of the technology and left the...
But why
would they do that? You know, like,
why?
Yeah, what...
No. No, come on, put it back in the cargo bay, disassemble it, or at least recycle it into the replicator or something. Come on.
Yeah.
No, you know they didn't do it. Come on.
Yeah, other than that, I like that episode because Chakotay built her a bathtub.
Heck yeah! What is not to love about that, man? If a guy builds me a bathtub, hey, I don't... That's true love.
Okay, we're going to talk about Lori's next, because I will not be able to argue Lori's third choice. We're going to say, I'm not doing this to be a jerk. I'm saving mine for last because I at least know that I have some good things to say about it. But you might be able to you might be able to have some good things about it. Tattoo.
Okay, tattoo.
A lot of people don't like Chakotay. A lot of people don't like Chakotay's Native American ancestry. Not necessarily his ancestry, but how he handles it.
Right.
People hate the Akuchi-Maoyoa stuff. And this is Akuchi-Maoyoa episode.
Absolutely. This is the mother load of Akuchi-Maoyoa.
And you'll appreciate it. This is basically the fan fiction of Akuchi-Maoyoa.
Indeed. This is where we basically learn Chakotay's heritage. And yeah, I mean, I see why this one doesn't get much love, because if you really are tired out by the whole Chakotay, I'm a Native American thing, this is the last thing that you want to see.
This episode's theme is a popular theme in sci-fi, not just Star Trek, but sci-fi, where aliens visited ancient humans and affected their culture or way of life. I mean, we see it all the time with the Egyptians, and this time it's with the very young, the rubber tree people.
Yes.
And I guess I did like that aspect, because that always fascinates me, just the idea that we have been visited before the Vulcans, like that whole idea.
Right.
I really enjoy. So for that, I like that aspect, and I like that Chakotay's father was all about rediscovering those roots and finding that out. And as I said before, I'm a sucker for history, for character history, and we get a lot of Chakotay in this one. And I like Chakotay. But if you don't like Chakotay, you're not going to like this episode.
This is absolutely true, and I do think it is a necessary episode to understanding Chakotay. Now, from this point forward, I think they could have done a little bit less of the Akuchi-Maoyoa. Like, okay, you explored his heritage. Let's put it in the background now, and let's explore other aspects of this character, to which they really kind of failed, let's face it.
We are far from the bones of my people.
Right.
What did you think about the doctor's storyline in this episode? Do you remember that one?
Oh, where he's got a cold? Okay, now this is freaking brilliant. Yeah. A lot of people forget this part of the story, where he programs himself to have a cold so that he can learn empathy, right? Or Kes programs the cold, doesn't he? Or I don't remember. But anyway, he has a cold.
he gave himself a 24-hour bug.
Okay, that's what
it is. Kes and made it last longer than 24 hours.
Yes, and he's miserable, and he feels like he's going to die, and it's the end of the world. And who knew that beautiful, pretty little Kes had such a vindictive side to torture him with this virus?
Genius.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. If you don't like the Chakotay stuff, at least watch this episode for that.
Yeah, that's true. If you don't like the Chakotay stuff, at least you get a good Kes and Doctor storyline.
Yeah, those two work so well together.
Now, you spoke of a vindictive spirit. Some might call me vindictive for even bringing this episode up. But one of my last episode that I think does not get enough respect that it deserves, and that's Barge of the Dead.
Ooh, okay.
All right.
Explain yourself, sir.
Okay, all right. So I am a huge Baylana fan.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how Greg is a huge Baylana fan as well.
Oh, yes.
And so there's a lot of Torres love going on in Trek FM. I'm sure there's other ones out there that we are not mentioning, but this is another character backstory episode that I'm in love with. Is that I love that we get to see her mother and get to learn a little bit more about the relationship between mother and child. And I love that the idea that she's, quote-unquote, a half-breed, like Spock, where there's always troubled past and, relationship issues with father or mother. And I like that Klingon spirituality was brought into this.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the Klingon culture, and I like the aesthetic. And I think a lot of people out there agree with me that the Klingon aesthetic and culture is one of the richest in Star Trek.
Yes.
And I love that it went beyond reason. It went beyond science. And it was something that the Doctor and Tom couldn't explain. And even at the end, we don't know if it actually happened or not. We really don't know if all of this was in her head, if it was real, if was she in Greythor, was she not? Does she really think that Voyager is hell for her. And that moment towards the end where she's surrounded by her loved ones, she's like, what do you want me to be? You know, like, a good officer, a good daughter, you know, lover, you know, and she starts pointing her batleth at everyone. That moment just gives me chills every single time. And I thought
I thought
it was so theatrical. I felt like it deserved to be on the stage.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool?
I thought it would have been really cool to see, down at the Cadillac downtown. And it's just this whole episode, it just gives me chills with the bleeding metal and just everything. And her relationship with Janeway focuses on her relationship with her mother. Like, I mean, it contrasts her relationship with her mother, and it just, I get all tingly just talking about it.
No, actually, I'm totally with you on this one. I don't know why you thought I was going to trash it, because
everybody
really
else does.
One. I think it's great for every single reason that you stated, but mostly the character development, because I think we knew that B'Elanna and her mother especially didn't necessarily get along with each other that well.
Right.
And here we see it in action. We kind of learn, okay, this is what's going on. This is the truth. This is what this has been insinuated this whole time a little bit. We learn a different side of Torres, and I think we're all suckers for character development, I think, on this podcast, because we've picked a lot of episodes that focus on character development, and that's why I like this so much, learning so much about B'Elanna, her past, and it, like you said, it's like theatrics in action. It's great, and I love that there is this little leap of faith where you just don't really know for sure what happened. You don't need to explain it away. You don't need to techno-babble it away. It's great as it is.
Right.
And that is just so rare on Voyager. It's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, character development and no techno-babble. A lot of people would say that that's straight up not Voyager. That's Deep Space Nine.
right. No, but I love it. I love it for that. It's great. Yeah.
Okay, Char, well, I guess that's a good place to end, because I'm glad that we agreed on my final episode at the end, because I don't know how this relationship would be able to continue if we disagreed on everything.
You know, one of the most important things about a relationship is you don't end the day being angry.
It's true. Never go to bed angry.
That's right.
With your fellow podcasters.
That's right. So I'm glad we ended this on a nice, happy, friendly, agreeable note. Yes. And we had a good time doing this. This was a great one.
We did have a good time. And speaking of a good time, I had a good time with a new Twitter follow. Actually, it just happened today. And Big Money Grip contacted me on Twitter. He's a big Star Trek fan. And he contacted me and told me that he loved the show. He loved what we're doing. And he told us to keep it up, and we just started talking Trek back and forth a little bit, and he's pretty funny, and all of you should check him out, and all of you who have Twitter accounts, please find us, talk to us, even if you have something critical to say, if you're nice about it, you know, I'll
listen to
you.
We like constructive criticism.
Yeah, constructive criticism. If you're nice about it, I will listen to you. But this guy's pretty cool. He actually had this theory that I thought was interesting, where Kim had a mock turtleneck underneath his uniform, where when he flipped it out, it said lieutenant. And as soon as he would get into his quarters by himself, he'd flip it out and just pretend that he was a rank higher than he was. And
poor Harry.
Yeah, poor Harry. That's going straight into my personal canon. So,
yeah, I totally dig it. I'll buy that. That's great.
All right, so people, please find us, contact us. If you'd like to talk to us, if you'd like us to talk about something specifically, or if you have just some comments to say, whether they're if they're constructive or if just some praise, please go to trek.fm/contact. From there, you'll be able to select a form to send to The Journey a nice email. And also, find us on Twitter. We are nice people. We'll talk to you.
Yeah.
Char, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at the profanity, and yes, I will definitely talk back.
And you can find me at the insane Robin, and tell me you're a Star Trek fan, and I will talk to you right back, and I may even follow you if you're interesting, you know. But I mean, if you're not interesting, I'm probably not going to. Boring people need not apply.
Let's also mention that Lori is on Twitter as well. She is Lori S68.
And while you're in the mood to contact us, and even if you're not in the mood to contact us, please, oh, please, go to iTunes, spend the 15 seconds, rate us, write us a review. You don't even have to write a review. You can just rate us. The more ratings we get, the more listeners we can get, because it goes higher on the iTunes list, and the more Trek love that will go out there, and we all want some of that. So please...
Totally.
Tune in next week, because next week we're going to be talking about something extremely interesting. We're going to talk about Alpha Quadrant species displaced in the Delta Quadrant. We're going to be talking about Klingons, Romulans, Ferengi, you
oh
name
my.
It. Oh my.
Nicely done.
So please tune in next week, and this was To the Journey.
To the Journey!